I want to call this meeting of House Education Finance in order. How is everybody doing today? It's so great to be back in person. I want to welcome everybody to our first House Education Finance Committee for the biennium. Our committee's main purpose is to fund our K-12 system, to focus on our students and the environment that they're learning in. It's my goal to make sure that our schools have a welcoming environment for everyone and all of our students, and that our districts have the funds that they need to make sure that they can meet students where they're at and to have them be successful. So I'm very excited to be working with all of you and to learn from all of your lived experiences. We got a chance to hear a little bit of that during Ed Policy, which was really fun. I'm working my way through the committee members to meet with each and every one of you, so be patient. You'll be getting an email soon from Shamat Abraha to try to fit me into your schedule so we can chat. I just want to see what you want to work on and what's important to you. And I'm just excited that we're going to be bringing and hearing from students and teachers and school administrators and school staff who play really important roles in our students' academic achievement, and also bring a really diverse group of testifiers to the table to hear testimony from folks who not only work with our kids in school, but before and after school. And we're gonna get some really good work done together and maybe get into a little good trouble too. So I'm now going to do a different way of taking the roll. Normally at this point we take just general roll and roll into our agenda, but today is more of an informal getting to know each other. So we are going to go around the table and introduce yourselves. I'm actually gonna call on folks, and I'd like you to state your name, the district that you represent, the school districts that are in your district, if you want to name all of them. I know some of you have quite a few. And then answer just two quick questions. One would be, what would you like members to know about the town that you live in? And then the other one would be, and I stole this from Chair Pryor, what memory do you have about your time in school? So I will go first. I'm Cheryl Joachim, she, her, and I represent 46B. It includes Hopkins, portions of Edina, and St. Louis Park. I cover the Hopkins, St. Louis Park, and Edina school districts. I live in Hopkins. We've been there since 87, and since, I gotta think, 97. We've lived there since 97. Man, it's been a long time. What I would love for you to know about Hopkins is we're like a small town. We're only 2 by 2 miles. We used to be called West Minneapolis. We have an amazing main street full of wonderful restaurants and retail. And a memory I have about school is my first grade teacher who used to play guitar for us to get us engaged and make us feel welcome. And then also I had an amazing school journalism teacher in high school that gave us space to learn and practice and with critical thinking and challenged our perspectives and taught us how to write. So those are my favorite memories of school. And I think I'll go next to our vice chair, Representative Mary Frances Clardy.
Good morning, I'm Mary Frances Clardy. I represent Invergrove Heights, Mendota Heights, Sunfish Lake, Lilydale, and West St. Paul. I am a teacher. I have been dealing with a lot of policy. Some memories that I have is, I guess first of all, my hometown or the town that I live in is Invergrove Heights, and we're the state champs for football this year. Yay! Okay, that's what we're known for. And then a school memory is I was an exchange student when I was in high school, so that was really a growth experience that I really value. And my pronouns are she and her.
Thank you, Representative. And next, I'd like to go to Representative Ron Crescia, our lead minority lead on committee. And I also want you to say a few words, if you'd like, about what some of your goals, and welcome everybody.
Thank you for that, Chair Joachim. And we've had a relationship for many years, so I'm looking forward to extending that. And thank you to all the members from both sides. I think this is always a good and spirited community, but it really is getting rolling the sleeves up and getting to the nuts and bolts of what we do. So before I get into my memories, and as you requested, a couple of the goals that you'll see from my comments and to the those that are going to come up and testify and introduce bills, I'll be very focused on putting things first as far as achievement. I think one of the most important things we can do is prioritizing the school's role for the success of the students. And right now we are sitting at reading levels for all students of 51%. Third grade is at 48%. When we look at the math levels, we see a 45% success rate for students, all students across the state, and we see a 40% reading at eighth grade level. In the world that we live in today, that's just simply not acceptable. We can tout an 84% graduation rate, but the reality is that is just the rate that we send kids out the door without really being able to measure and know where they're going to be in success. And I run a company, I run a number of companies outside of my education experience, and one of the biggest things that I see now is the students have to be able to work through the remote challenges, work through information, process, think, and all of that. And that's very, very important. Our schools have a promise and a commitment to those students. So as people are bringing up bills and as we're hearing things, those are the things I'll be asking. How is this affecting and bringing up those scores? How is this allowing the diversity to be gapped and bridged so that we can make those successful transitions and help those students? Because at the end of the day, that really is what matters for our school system. That's what we have to do. We have a constitution that only allows for adequate education. I think that's insufficient, and I think we can do better. The last comment that I'll just make is we are the Finance Committee. And if you were at the chamber event last night, I appreciate the governor's comments talking about the fact that one Minnesota doesn't necessarily mean that we agree. And one of the biggest disagreements we have is student disparity funding. When you look across the state, we can say, you know, the governor made light of the fact that 11 counties at AMC stood up and clapped for him. But the fact of the matter is that leaves out 76 other counties that schools in remote parts of the state just miss out on that funding. And I'm looking forward to working with my colleagues across the aisle. But I also recognize the fact that when you look at the education leadership, it's pretty weighted towards the metro side. So I know that it's very important that we continue to give that rural voice and we continue to make sure that all of our students get a shot at that education, that funding. It's just what we have to do. So those are things that I'll be doing, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Yes, there may be fireworks, it'll be respectful, but the truth can handle being beat up a little bit, the truth can be malleable, and I think that's, frankly, our obligation is to get to the heart of these matters. And yeah, we'll have some spirited debate. We'll also walk out of this room and I'll be able to walk up to members or the chair and say, how do we get to the solution? That's okay. I'm okay with that. Last comments are, Mr. Shum, thank you for not retiring. As well as Christina Pera and all the other great staff that we work with, because when you go, I go. It's just going to be how it's going to be. And of course, our partisan research, both the GOP and the House. So that is great. Memories for me. I have lots of memories of education, but my most rewarding memories are when I was a teacher and when I was a coach in my earliest days. And I have a couple students that still stick out in my mind, walking them through the hardships and walking them through parts of their life. And one of the things that I remember, a story that I'll just quickly share, I won't use his name because they've probably used it too much, but it was a young man that I was working with early on who was a very bright young man, attractive, good-looking eighth grader, everything that you would see, the curly blonde hair, everything that would make a student on the outside look like someone that could get through life socially and could be popular. But this student just never did his work. And I was tasked with getting him onto the right track and just trying to get him caught up. A lot of it was just getting the homework done. He would come to class and just simply sit in the back of class and smile a lot because he had a great smile. And I could not for the life of me as a 23-year-old figure out why this student wouldn't just do his homework. I mean, just for goodness sake, do the worksheet. And one of my mentors, who was an industrial arts teacher at the time, but this was a small town in Ivanhoe, Minnesota, grabbed me one day after school and put me in his truck and said, let's go for a ride. And we went to this young man's house, and I parked outside the house with this teacher, and he showed me the house and he said, you have to understand, When that student comes home, he does not know if his parents are going to be sober. He doesn't know if there's going to be food. He doesn't know if he's going to get beat. He has no idea what that house will hold for him. It's not safe. And that was one of my first real epiphanies of going, you know, I get it now. I'm trying to solve things that this student doesn't have the capacity to solve. Of course he doesn't care about a math worksheet. He's in survival mode. So when I bring that student up, that is where I come from when I sit in this seat and when I knock on doors and I ask for people's votes. So thank you for the time, Madam Chair, and I look forward to the committee time.
Thank you, Representative Cresha, and I do look forward to working with you. We've always had a great working relationship. And very well said. You did forget, though, what is one thing about the city you live in you'd like us to know about?
Greatest city in the world, Charles Lindbergh from there. We have a zoo. I mean, how much more of the committee time do you want me to take?
I love it. Thank you. And you do bring up a good point. We are going to be having, you know, we could be having some difficult conversations about our largest opportunity, one of our largest opportunity gaps in the country. And we can have those conversations while still being respectful to each other, to our staff, and especially to our testifiers. So we'll be laying those ground rules as we move along, and sometimes some bills will take a few more ground rules and course corrections than others, but I know we'll make it out on the other end. So next up, we'll go alphabetical order. Representative Altendorf. And please correct me if I'm saying your name's wrong.
Oh, no, that is correct. It's Altendorf. You say it exactly like it's written. I think people stumble because it's a different name, but just go right through it and you're going to make it. PM Altendorf, I'm in District 20A, which is Red Wing, Lake City, Cannon Falls, Wabasha, Goodhue. Something interesting about my area, Red Wing, of course, we're known for Red Wing shoes, Red Wing pottery, and of course, the Prairie Island Indian Casino and Tribe is in that area. And so we have a lot of history there. A memory from school, I would just say, is when I was in first grade, my teacher, I would help everybody else with their math. I'd get my math done quickly, help everyone else. And then she said, you need to move up to second grade math. And then I went up to my sister's grade, who was in second grade. And for the rest of my student life, I had math with my older sister, and I don't think she liked it very much.
Thank you, Representative. I had to marry a math teacher to be good in math, so I do appreciate that skill set. Representative Patty Anderson.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. Let's see. I represent District 33A. That is the school districts in my district. I have most of Matamidi School District. I have a sizable chunk of Wiper Lake, the Hugo section. I think I'm the largest area in Forest Lake schools, and then I have a little tiny sliver of Stillwater, so just a tiny, tiny, probably 500 people in Stillwater School District. I live in Delwood. Interesting about Delwood, there's about 1,000 people. It's a very little, tiny thing surrounded by other cities. We have no businesses except two country clubs and an apple orchard, so kind of out there. My memory in school, I went to Forest Lake High School. My British Lit instructor, I can still hear his voice, his teacher. He had a very low baritone voice, and he used to read Beowulf and all these things to us in class, and it was actually, you know, I still remember that from back then.
Great. Thank you. Representative Ben Bakeberg, right?
Got it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bakeberg. So my name is Representative Ben Bakeberg. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to share. I have the privilege to represent District 54B. The communities included are Prior Lake, Jordan, a portion of Shakopee, and then some surrounding townships around the area. And then the school districts I serve are Prior Lake Savage, Jordan, and obviously Shakopee. And I actually serve as the middle school principal in Jordan. So I come with a firsthand perspective of the decisions that have been made at this table and then how they impact kids and families and all staff members. So I look forward to working and bringing that voice and that perspective. And, I think a healthy dialogue is really good. And in our school district, we've modeled that, and we have very different opinions across our leadership team. And we have very, very robust conversations. But we always come to the best solution for the kids that we serve. And that's always going to be my perspective. I would echo Representative Crecia. It's all about how are we supporting our kids to be able to find their gifts and talents so that they're able to take the next step in life. I've also, like Representative Crecia, I've lived the discrepancy in funding, so I would not be representing my districts well if I did not talk about that, and I will continue to talk about that. A memory from school, you know, I had the opportunity, I went to Dasso Cocato High School and grew up, and I shared yesterday, but I had a man by the name of Perry Tennyson. He was my Little League baseball coach, and then he went off to college, came back, and was a social studies teacher, and is now an activities director, and he really exemplified for me the impact that an educator can have on a kid's life. So, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for our service in our schools. I work during the interim as a paraprofessional with kiddos, and I could never do the administration or the teaching. And paras, just like, you get to hang with the kids and classroom management, and then peace out. So thank you. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good to be back with everybody, and nice to be back working with you as well. We came in the same year, so it's we're classmates. But I am Peggy Bennett. I represent 23A, which is Southern Minnesota. Albert Lea is the largest city, but my district ranges from a little bit east of Albert Lea all the way almost to Blue Earth, and then out up to Waseca, and then, of course, the southern part is the Iowa border. We don't go beyond that. The schools, the districts that actually reside in my district would be the Albert Lea area schools. Then we have Glendale Emmons, a little south of me. I live in Albert Lea. And Alden Conger Schools. Then we have the Wells USC. And New Richland, Heartland, Ellendale, Geneva School District. And I also have three private schools in my district. We have St. Theodore's in Albert Lea. We have St. Casimir's in Wells, and Hollandale Christian School in Hollandale. I love Albert Lea. I got my first teaching job there in 1981. I was a teacher for 33 years, retired in 2015, mostly first grade, a little bit of special ed, but all elementary level. I didn't want to come to Albert Lea when I first got my teaching job, but it was hard to get teaching jobs. This is the opposite back in the 81. And so I had to look it up on the map. I'm originally grew up in the suburbs part of the time near Delwood. I've been to that apple orchard. And got hired down there. Didn't really want to go because I didn't want to be that far from my family who was in the Twin Cities. But after I was there for a year or two, you couldn't drag me out of there. I love Albert Lea. It's a beautiful town of about close to 18,000 people. We have something special about Albert Lea is our lakes. We have a couple of really nice lakes. One, Fountain Lake, is right in our city. It's about a little over five mile walk, run, jog, bike, whatever, and you can actually go all the way around the lake. So it's a really special thing. And we had the governor's fishing opener there a few years ago, so it's a good fishing lake too. Let's see, a memory from school. I did share yesterday in ed policy, so I won't share the same thing, except I will say that I did not do well in school until about high school, because I didn't like school. One of my teachers in elementary school told my mom at conferences that my head was out the window somewhere most of the time. You know, luckily I loved to read. Somebody hooked me into reading. And other than that, I could have cared less about being at school. So I did not do well until about high school. And one of my earliest memories in elementary school is sitting in my climbing tree at home. We had this tree, we had first branch, second branch, third branch, whatever. I'd sit up there and just kind of daydream. And I remember thinking, I will never be a teacher, you know, because I didn't like school. Well, then I became a teacher, and I loved it. And one of my main goals was to excite kids to learn, because nobody excited me until about high school. And that's such a key to learning. And it's kind of funny because as an adult, I said I'd never get involved in politics, so here I am. But anyway, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. That moving away to teach, back when my husband started too, he ended up in Alaska for a year. So, yeah, there are our teacher supply ebbs and flows, and we're definitely in an ebb right now. All right, so next up, we've got Representative Heather Adelson.
Well, this is my first term I was on education finance, and so I'm happy to be back, especially with you, Chair Joachim. And Representative Kreisha, I can't see you, but I look forward to working with you because I know that you and I share.
Hello. Share a we can FaceTime if you'd like.
Yeah, I want to. We're going to make some paper airplanes and we're going to FaceTime. But I do look forward to working on special education policy with you. You and I both share an interest in that, as well as literacy, it sounds like. So I represent Edina in Bloomington. I want members to know about my district, I guess, as we have a great Edina downtown, and I know you're all thinking cake eaters, right? There's actually a cake shop, so you can get your own little cake. It's great, and I just started to represent Bloomington, so it's a bigger city that's lovely. Other things about our district is that we have really innovative schools, and I'm really excited to bring that. I talk a lot about what we're doing in Edina because we do have extra resources and an education fund where we try to fund a lot of the things that I'll be talking about here. What I remember about school is I represent Edina, but I grew up very differently. I was the first one to go to college in my family. I remember having free tickets and deciding to pass on lunch because I didn't want to wait in the line to get the free ticket, and I didn't want people to know. Representative Kreisha, my house was a lot like the house that you talk about with that student. Nobody knew what was going on. I was held back in third grade, and it took me a really long time to be able to talk about that because I couldn't read. I didn't read until I was in sixth grade. So literacy is so incredibly important, and we will be talking about that. And Representative Kreisha, I really do hope your members will sign on to some of the literacy bills, and we can work together because Minnesotans expect that we work together. And so I'm going to be that member that's going to keep pushing you. So look forward to working together.
Thank you, Representative Edelson, and thank you for welcoming me into a section of Edina as well. Representative Greenman.
Good morning. Representative Emma Greenman, I represent 63B, Shehurst, and the school district. So until my first term, I represented both Minneapolis Public Schools and Richfield Public Schools. So got a good sense of that. I now just represent Minneapolis. One thing you should know about my district, it is the highest voter turnout district in the state of Minnesota. Which is important to me as a voting rights lawyer. It's also important to me because what I do know is when I think about public schools, when I think about our education system, it is the very foundation of our democracy. It's where we learn to both civics education, but we also learn how to work together, how to bridge difference, and how to be communities. And so I'm really excited to be here. So my memory of school, I think, like Representative Adelson, I really struggled to learn how to read. I was in special education until fifth grade. And so when I think about the teachers, the educators, the paras who really worked with me, I mean, I still remember Tricia, my public education teacher. My memories are very vivid. And also those adults are the reason that, you know, I was able to go on and be successful at South High School in Minneapolis and on to law school and grad school. So I am really eager to think about how we're going to help those kids like Representative Edelson, like Representative Bennett, and all the kids, and think about how we bring an equity lens to that to ensure that every kid in Minnesota comes to school ready to learn, that every kid has what they need and has that kind of support, because we know right now that not everyone's getting the support that I got in Minneapolis. So excited to be here.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. Representative Josiah Hill.
Thank you, Chair Joachim. I live in District 33B, which represents the cities of Bayport, Oak Park Heights, Stillwater, Stillwater Township, May Township, Marine, Scandia, and parts of Forest Lake. I'm a longtime teacher and really love to tell people how proud I am to be able to claim that. I had incredible teachers. I grew up in the city of Stillwater, and again, proud to be a teacher at my alma mater. One wonderful thing about Stillwater is it's known as the birthplace of Minnesota. We were the first community, they claim, of people who came to you know, Minnesota across the country as far as the tourism industry goes. That's what seems to fall onto our shirts. What's more important to me is the beauty of the river and the wonderful legacy of Walter Mondale and Senator Nelson from across the river to preserve the St. Croix Riverway. A couple of things I would say about my priorities here is to make sure, to echo our chair, that we meet every child in Minnesota where they're at. And the really powerful stories that we're hearing from our colleagues about their experiences in school resemble the priorities that I have, to meet every child in Minnesota, not just in our own locales, but everywhere. And, you know, some of the experiences I had as a student really shaped the work that I've attempted to do as an educator. I think of many teachers, two in particular, Ms. Thompson in seventh grade, and Mr. Murphy in high school in 12th grade, who asked me what I thought. And that's not in itself a real remarkable element. The powerful thing was that they listened deeply to the response. They revisited my response. They asked me about it. They challenged me and continued that dialogue. And meeting kids where they're at is something that I'm attempting to do every day in my service to students and families. And it's going to be a strong North Star for me in the work that we do here. Coming out of the last several years with the pandemic, these powerful stories that we're hearing, I remember working with students on Zoom and reminding myself daily, sometimes hourly, that some of these challenging environments that our students are growing up in was where they were 24 hours a day during that time frame. And as we begin to do the work to give students the opportunities that they deserve and need and work to improve achievement levels, remembering that we owe this to every child in the state. So looking forward to the work ahead, friends in every corner of the state, and can't wait to get started.
Thank you, Representative Hill. I grew up in Stillwater, and I believe you knew my brother in high school.
About three blocks away, as I understand.
Yeah,
the chair.
I look forward to hearing some stories. Representative Hudela, did I say that right?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hudela.
Hudela. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Representative.
Shane Hudela. I represent Hastings, part of Cottage Grove, Denmark, and Nininger townships. Biggest school district, ISD 200 in Hastings, where I went to school from kindergarten through graduation. Great program. Hastings has just tremendous educators, tremendous schools. I have four boys that I've got two of them, one wrapping up as a senior this year, and one that's got a couple years to go, but we've had great experiences with the school there. City of Hastings has an amazing waterfront. Over the last 10 years, they made a big investment. We're right on the Mississippi River. Love it there. I've lived my whole life there. And for a small town, we've produced a tremendous amount of pro athlete talent. I'm passionate about sports. So we've had five or six folks make it to the National Hockey League. We've had Ben Utech make it to the NFL. For this tiny little town that everybody thinks is down by Iowa, but yet only 25 minutes from the Capitol, we've produced some pretty big talent. So excited to be here. I think my memory from school graduation day, and as much as I enjoyed it, it was great to be done and anxious to get on to the next chapter in life.
Thank you, Representative Hudela. Yes, Hopkins does that with basketball, from Chris Humphreys to the Coffees and Paige Beckers right now. So I share that passion for seeing some amazing student athletes who are also amazing student academics too. So look forward to working with you. So next we have Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to be back. This is a great committee. We have really great staff, so please talk to them and get to know them. They're very helpful. My name is Sydney Jordan. I represent 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. I'm proud to represent Edison High School, Northeast Minneapolis, Waite Park, Pillsbury, Las Estrellas, and Webster Elementary in my district. A lot of my constituents also send children to Marcy Open, which is just over the border in Representative Agbaje's district. Everyone's talking about all these fun facts, but the first thing that came to mind when I thought about my community is really the connectedness that we all have in Northeast Minneapolis. I'm thinking today about the three cars that I helped dig out of the street. But it wasn't just me. It was my entire street came out, and we all dug each other out. We also really are a landing place for new Americans, and we've always been. And it's a place where you can eat your way around the world, as Senator Dietzick and I like to say. You can get, we also have a very large Ukrainian population, so you can get pierogies, you could get tacos, you could have great Thai food, all within the same block of each other. So you can also get great beer. A lot of people, when they think of my district, they do think of that, which is not exactly what we want to talk about in this committee, but I grew up, my mom was an educator and was also president of her local. So I grew up talking to a lot of teachers and answering the phone. And so I have a lot of memories of school. I loved her. I was one of those readers. I was one of those bookworms, and I still sometimes read some of those books. But I also, I guess today, I normally think about all the happy moments and all the wonderful teachers I had. But today, I really was remembering how I was also bullied as a child and how that was a really... I was bullied for my identity, and so remembering that is something that's really hard. I also experienced gun violence at a school when my mom was meeting with students. And that's something that's really hard for me to talk about, and I don't talk about very much. But those are really some of the memories, too, in addition to all the amazing teachers I had and who really saw something in me and encouraged me to get involved and just encouraged me to read the newspaper and get involved and understood when some students are having a hard time and when some students are need more. So... I'm really grateful to be on this committee to make sure that all of our students have the resources they need to grow into the amazing adults that we know they all have the capability of being. So thanks, Madam Chair, and I'm excited to get to work.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. And never a problem talking about food or breweries. So next up we have Representative Knudsen, and please let me know if I said that.
That's correct. Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Krista Knudsen. I represent District 5A, which is northern Minnesota, kind of the very rural area between Brainerd and Detroit Lakes. Our biggest city is Park Rapids, which is a population of 4,500, so very rural. The districts that I have, and there's a lot, and I wasn't going to name them all, but I think it's important, just so you understand the size and the number of school districts within my district. We have Detroit Lakes, we have Frazee-Vergas, we have Walker-Hackensack-Akeley, we have Pillager, Brainerd, Pequot Lakes, LaPorte, Nevis, Park Rapids, a few in New York Mills, a couple in Verndale, Sabika, Monaga, Staples-Motley, and Pine River-Bacchus. So there are a ton of school districts within my district. I, unlike a lot of you, have no experience in educating. Or administration. I come to this as a parent. I have four children. Three are in elementary school. I guess two just moved to middle school, and one in pre-K. And I have seen a lot of changes in our education system, and some are great, and I'm not sure if some are the direction that we want to be going. So I hope to bring a parent perspective to this discussion. A memory I have from school, and I shared this yesterday, and I was trying to think if I wanted to talk about something different today, but this was so impactful for me that I feel like I need to repeat it. I struggled with math as a little kid. Elementary school, it was difficult for me. I could never get those multiplication times tables done in the 5 minutes or whatever we had, and I just didn't like it. So fifth grade, I had a math teacher that said to me, every day we're going to have four math problems, and you go home, you do them, and you bring them back, and they don't have to be right. Just do your best. And that just shocked me. Like, I'm not going to be put down. I'm not going to be made fun of if I don't get this correct. And that changed my whole thoughts on math. And I started actually trying, and I started believing in myself, because I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to get it right. I just have to do my best. Her name was Mrs. Banwart, and I'll just never forget her. I'm sure she's long retired now. But and I moved on. I was in math league and lettered in math league in high school, and it really was a changing point for me in my education. So that's all. Thank you. Oh, something about my city.
Yes.
Sorry, Madam Chair. I'm from Lakeshore. We're a very touristy area right next to a sister city to Nisswa. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, just north of Brainerd. We are kind of the bedroom city of Nisswa. Nisswa's got the little downtown shopping, and we have 5 restaurants, 1 church, no gas station, no grocery store, no convenience store, just a lot of bars. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And you have a lot of amazing bike trails. I love your bike trails.
We have fantastic.
Up in your area, and I think you might win the prize for the number of school districts in your district. There was 15 plus I counted there as you were listing them off. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Next up we have Representative Perez Vega.
Good late morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Maria Isa Perez Vega. I represent District 65B, which is right here, the Capitol stands, downtown St. Paul, the west side of St. Paul, and a little bit of the east side of St. Paul's in District, along with West 7th and West St. Paul, which is new to District 65B. So I have 2 high schools in between the districts and 4 elementary schools. I come from a background of being a youth worker in after school and summer school program. I direct the mentorship program for a nonprofit called the Twin Cities Mobile Jazz Project for close to 7 years now, and where I've been contracted by several school districts throughout the state, mostly here though in the Twin Cities between St. Paul Public Schools and Minneapolis Public School, but also Richfield, and one of my favorites in Red Lake Nation Middle School, working with youth on how literacy and arts and music in particular is a way of communication and a way to advance literacy, starting from pre-K all the way to high school students. That's one of my favorite jobs, and the hats, the many hats that I wear, is working with those youth, specifically our BIPOC youth and our refuge students that come here not knowing how to speak English, let alone how to read in their own languages. Music has been an influence for them to be able to write, to be able to even communicate with teachers who may not know about the languages that they speak or even how to pronounce their names. And I tell you, the passion that it is to be in the education programming through liberal arts and music and performing arts is so tremendous, because I think about a student of mine that came from a refugee camp in Thailand and had not spoken to anyone in over a year. And her parent, except when she went home, and her parents were concerned, and they communicated that with the translator at the school in Washington High School. And she started speaking one day, right after she graduated, received her certificate from our program as a junior. And that young girl is now writing her own books of poetry. That young girl wrote the school song of the year. That young girl is now looking to be a teacher. And I still receive little messages here and now, just to, she's someone that, you know, the school made sure that she kept in contact, even though I moved forward from working with the SPPS. And those are the stories and the magic when you're able to find funding for arts and music programming. It's able to change and bridge how a child can learn and how a child can move away from suicide, how a child can move away from opioids crisis that we're facing. And I've also worked with these youth who have challenged gang violence and gun issues in the school. It's very traumatizing to be a youth worker in education systems that now we have to learn about how to become military, it feels, to how to act in emergency situations with the gun violence that is happening in throughout the nation, but in particular right here in our backyards. And for me, it's very important to see how we change the poisons into medicines. And art has been a medicine for those youth to
recognize that we have to be stronger and we can move forward. And, you know, if you learn how to drum, it'll help you in your algebra class. It'll help you with your timing. It'll help you with learning about your country and geometry and wanting to share your stories through poetry in your literacy and English classes. So I come from that background of mentorships. One of my great mentors is the late Gilbert De La O of the West Side community. That's where I'm from. And I want you to know about the place that I'm from, West Side of St. Paul, is the first Latino community in the state of Minnesota, where when I was around, it was less than 1% of the population in the state. And now we are at 6, which may seem modest, but we are growing by the numbers, and not just in the cities, but I'm sure you know in the rural towns like Brainerd and Bemidji, and even in Red Lake. So it means a lot to me because his leadership, he was the only Latino to serve on the St. Paul Public School Board. And he came from a time where he did not know how to communicate with his teachers. And then he got to make the rules, right? He got to determine the law for folks like myself to be able to sit in this seat here today. He passed away in August, but he was a very strong supporter of me being here. And I just want to highlight that if you're from, if you're here now in the district, go over to the West Side, go eat at El Burrito, and go learn about the legacy of Gilbert De La O and what that means to this great state of Minnesota. Gracias.
Thank you, Representative Reyes Vega, and thank you for working with our kids. Next up, we have Representative Pryor, our Education Policy Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'm Lori Pryor. I represent 49A, and I guess you never get tired of telling who you represent, right? No matter how many times you do it, it's still, you know, there's pride that you have. So I represent Southern Minnetonka and Northern Eden Prairie. I live in the Minnetonka side of the district. Something about the city that I represent, well, you know the lake, right? But we're just a little part of the lake, and there's a lot of other communities that have more lakeshore probably than we do in Minnetonka. But we also have, we have great trails, and it's really a walking community. And we have a city council that's working on climate action and how to make a greener community, and we've done quite successful in that. So it's a suburb, but it's a nice suburb. Very, very happy. We've lived there for long time, decades, and we'll probably stay on. You know, there's no reason to leave, I guess, for us. That's where my school districts are, Minnetonka, Eden Prairie, and then Hopkins. And my three kids graduated from the Hopkins district. So three kids, and I have 7 grandkids. And so that's kind of my experience with teaching or being on this. It's not because I'm a teacher, but because I care passionately about the education my kids got, and I care passionately about the education my grandkids are going to get too, all over the state. So then my memories, and you know, there's so many memories that start come rushing back, especially as you sit here and then you listen to other people and say, oh, I can connect to that. But the one that I'm going to share is one where I was in about the second grade, and I have 7 grandkids, so you know approximately my age, right? And so you can also imagine that time in schools, or I hope you can, and how different it is, especially for girls. And we had in that second grade classrooms, and all the classrooms on the hall, there would be these windows that would be displays that kids walking down the hall could see these displays. And evidently, when they were the displays, I guess they were typically that the girls in the classroom would do the display windows. But we were going to have a science display. And the teacher said, what boys want to do the science display? And I heard that, and I remembered it. And I went up to the teacher at some point and said, so why is it just boys can do the window? And I don't think she had an answer other than, well, we need to give the boys a turn. And then we just kind of got like, okay, let's move on, you know. So things like that happened in my life, and I understand how, you know, people saw me, well, you're a girl, so therefore you like this and this and this.
you're good at these things, you're not going to be good at these things. Like being in state government, it's like being elected, oh my gosh, no, that's not for girls. When I was that age, that was the expectation, that I would never sit here on this desk. So when I think about that in my history, then I know that there's still kids that get labeled that way. And that's what we're working on, and that's what we're thinking. You know, we have this position of power in the state. There's things maybe that we can do to make it better so kids don't get put into these boxes, but they're respected for all the things that they are and all the things that they can be. So very glad to be working with all of you on this committee. Really excited for what we're going to do this year.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. And you have amazing parks in Minnetonka, too.
Yes.
Representative Purcell.
Good morning. I'm Christy Purcell. I represent 58A, the school districts in my district, the Tri-Cities United School District, New Prague, and Northfield. I reside in Northfield. I have two children who are in elementary school there, and I'm the child of two public school teachers now, retired. I was thinking about, I think maybe I'll brag on my district a little bit. So the superintendent of Northfield Public Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, is the superintendent of the year for Minnesota, and he's in the top four for the superintendent in the country, so we'll get to find out next month. Part of his success, he works really, really collaboratively, and we have an incredible program in Northfield called the Torch Program. So as we saw numbers go down in the pandemic for achievement and graduation, we didn't see those numbers in Northfield, and that's because of the incredible kind of inside-outside support network for students who were struggling, especially our Latinx students, and have graduates from the program coming back to help support the students. It was a program just in the high school. It's now also in the middle school. It also works post-high school graduation. So there's some pretty incredible success stories that come from my district that I hope that that's a thing that I can share and bring to these conversations, because every kid in Minnesota deserves that support and is capable of that success. My personal memories that were coming back from school. So I went to a different elementary school for kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, and so I had a hard time making friends. And one of my best friends was the crossing guard in first grade. Her name was Faye. She helped me cross the street every morning, and my other best friend was the janitor. And so I just think when we think about, we often think about teachers and administrators, but to think about all the people who are involved in kids' lives to make their success possible and to just feel like they have a person. So I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Purcell. So appreciated. And you forgot to mention that you also were on the CFAT committee for your school district. So that's a citizen advisory, finance advisory board. I have a soft spot for those people that do numbers better than me. Okay, Representative Reem.
Hello, I am Lucy Reem, newly sworn in, representative for District 48B, which is the district of Chanhassen and a good portion of Chaska, the eastern side. We have world-class schools in our district. I don't want to brag, but I will say that they're top-notch schools. We have the Minnetonka School District. We have Eastern Carver County Schools. We have a great charter school called the World Learner School. And these schools serve the kids throughout our community. I'm a former teacher. I taught overseas in Japan for about 5.5 years. I come from a family of teachers. My grandma was a teacher. She taught in the early 1900s in southwestern Minnesota in a one-room schoolhouse. And my aunt taught in Northfield for about 30, 40 years, taught second graders. So education is a big part of who I am. Strong believer in education as it relates to preserving our democracy and creating a great labor force. Something about my city that you may know, we have the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, in the city of Chanhassen. We also have Paisley Park. And people might not know this, but Prince was a great philanthropist, and he was very quiet when he would give money. He gave a big check to the first African-American library down south. And it didn't say Prince's name on the signature of the check. It said something like the Purple Foundation. So they called our local library, and they said, you know, we got this check, and this is the address. And our local librarian said, oh, that must have come from Prince. So he believed in libraries. He also believed in the arts, obviously, and he donated money to the local elementary school for the music program. So arts are a big part of my district, and I will say that the arts have been a big part of my life, too. One of the biggest memories I have from my school years was when I was in high school. I was fairly shy, quiet, and I wanted to try out for the high school musical. So I summoned the courage to try out and ended up with one of the lead roles. And it reminds me of something I heard once on a late night TV show. There was a celebrity, I can't remember what the show or who the celebrity was even, but she said, it's not enough to believe in yourself. You have to have someone believe in you too. And I think that's what teachers do. So shout out to Greg Sawyer, Greg with three G's, who put me in that lead role. And I think about, you know, what our students are facing right now. We're dealing with a global pandemic. We have a mental health crisis. We are dealing with racial reckoning, gun violence, opioid crisis, climate crisis, housing crisis. And it all comes, it intersects in our schools. And we have so many people who are working so hard to support our students, and I'm so grateful. And I wanted to do a shout out to the janitors too, the janitors, the nurses, the counselors, the cafeteria workers, as well as the support staff and the teachers, and how I'm so grateful and very excited to be on this committee and look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you, Representative Ream. And I didn't make it to Footloose. I don't know if it's still playing or not.
It's still playing.
Okay, nice to know. And Representative Spencer Murrah.
Thank you. It feels fitting, but I feel like I'm back in school at the end of that alphabet.
Oh, trust you, I feel you now. So.
My name is Samantha Spencer Murrah. I am a new state representative representing District 63A, so South Minneapolis. For those that are high board local, I represent Districts 3 and 5 within the Minneapolis Public Schools. I went to Minneapolis Public Schools. I grew up in the district that I'm representing. And from that experience, as a student of color, really witnessing the different educational experiences and different educational outcomes between students of color and white students, I became passionate about education. I've worked in education for 11 years. I've taught English and creative writing. I've worked at a full-service community school, coordinating wraparound services for students and families. And for the last 5 years, I was the executive director at an education nonprofit, partnering both in school and out of school with Minneapolis and St. Paul students and families to provide in-school and out-of-school writing programs for youth. My organization focused on writing as the often overlooked half of literacy. Something that we said is that reading provides young people access, but writing provides young people power. And so we focused on working specifically with students of color, uplifting their voices through the development of writing skills. So I'm excited to bring some of those perspectives to this work. I'm also a new mom. I have a 16-month-old, and he currently participates in the Early Childhood Family Education Program at Minneapolis Public Schools. You know, when you're thinking about memories, I was thinking of a recent memory that I had just with him a couple months ago, where he, at that time, 14 months, participated in his first school lockdown. So in the early childhood class, there was a lockdown. We had to shut the doors. We had to lock the doors. We had to, you know, put the shades on the windows. You know, as parents and with our children, had to keep them from crying and keep them, you know, as much as possible, relatively calm in that situation. And so if anything is going to convince you that we need to really work on school safety and creating a welcoming environment for all students, especially our youngest learners, that was an experience that definitely did that for me. More positive memories. I was a part of the mock trial program at my school, at my school. I represented a team at South High that won the state championship 2 years in a row and also got fourth in the nation. I believe actually one of my mock trial teammates this year. We both ended up at the Capitol. But you know, I credit that program with me sitting in this seat. I developed leadership skills. I developed public speaking skills, and I had adults that believed in me, which I think is really key. Something that I would love for people to know about my district, I think most people, you know, have some idea of South Minneapolis. I think the whole world has an idea of South Minneapolis after the last few years. But I think something important that I'd love for people on this committee to know about students in my district is they have lived through so much in the last few years. They have lived through a global pandemic. They have lived through witnessing the murder of George Floyd and an uprising and unrest that really changed their community. And from those experiences, the young people that I've had the opportunity to work with, they are incredibly engaged. They are incredibly clear. They have great clarity and they have great urgency. For the issues that we need to act on and for what they need to be successful in school. And so I hope as much as possible we can work to uplift and amplify their voices within this committee.
Thank you so much, Representative, for sharing. Representative West is not here today. He's excused, but we'll circle back with him when he gets here. Next, I would like to hear from our amazing nonpartisan staff that I think we've upped our game with our CA Polly Stokvenik and her baking skills, but we've been paying them in cookies or trying to keep Tim Strom here longer. But no, first go to Mr. Strom.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. It's an absolute honor for me to be here with this committee again this legislative session. This is my 40th regular session. And it's a learning experience for me every single day. I learn from all of you. I'm grateful for all of the conversation I hear, and I'm happy to help in any way possible. I work on a team, and Ms. Pera and Ms. McGinnis can introduce themselves, but my coworker, Ms. Beckel, is out sick today, and she'll be back next week. But the four of us are the nonpartisan team that help you with your drafting and committee needs. And again, I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And the other partner of our amazing staff, Christina Parra.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Christina Parra from House Research. This will be my 7th regular session, so got some catching up to do for Mr. Strom. But happy to be here and back at the table with you all.
Thank you. And we'll circle back with Sylvie Beckel when she gets back. And then now we're going to move on to partisan research. We have GOP researcher Jody Withers.
Yes, my name is Jody Withers. I'm with the House Republican Caucus working in the Education Finance, Education Policy, and the Children and Families Committee areas. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Mars Beltrandi, Rehnquist. And I always say the first part wrong.
Mars Beltrandi, Rehnquist, DFL Research, and I work with the Education Finance and Education Policy Committees.
Thank you. And somebody that you're going to get to know very well is our committee administrator, Polly Stokvenik.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. My name is Polly Stokvenik. I am the committee administrator for Education Finance. This is my 5th session at the House, my 3rd as a committee administrator. I previously worked with some of you on early childhood, now children and families, or taxes. I'm very excited to be back in the education space and working with all of you. And I'm a product of the St. Paul Public School Systems. I could see this building from the windows of my 7th grade science classroom, so it's pretty cool to be here now. Thank you.
Thank you. And another person you're going to get to know very well, and that is Shamat Abara. I am so sorry. Shamat Abraha. She is going to be our committee legislative assistant. And you're going to have to say your name aloud for everybody because I keep butchering it. So.
I'll take this off because I'm kind of quiet. Hello. My name is Shamat Abraha. I am obviously the committee legislative assistant working with Chair Joachim. I'm very excited to be here. This is my first session, which is kind of weird being next to someone who's been here for 40. But I'm very excited to be here and working with all of you.
Thank you so much. So... next, I just wanted to roll over into, there's some committee rules in your packet for the 23-24 biennium. Basically, a lot of them are what you're seeing in all of our committees. A couple important items to note is our amendment deadline will be noon the business day before the bill hearing. The testifier and handout deadline will be 2 p.m. the business day before hearing. And I want to make sure we try to get our testifiers to hold to that. I've noticed a few of you are trying to do what I'm doing with trying to go electronic for everything. So we want to make sure we can have those PowerPoints to download and write on if we want. And then the committee folders, if you want to leave anything to save it, please put it in the save folder. They stay in committee.
and the Committee of Legislative Assistant will clear the handouts from the folders after each committee to make sure that you keep whatever documents you want in the save folder. Are there any questions at all about the committee roles? I'm looking at Representative Krisha. Any questions about the committee roles, anybody?
Yeah, whenever you're ready, I have a couple comments.
Questions. Why don't we go to that?
Okay, it's just overall, so if you have other business, I can just do my wrap-up stuff.
Nope, do your wrap-up.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And so I want to make sure I get these names right. So, Ms. Cervanek. Cervanek?
Cervanek.
Cervanek. I got to use all my phonetic symbols.
We have a lot of vowels at the front of the room.
And Brahat, Ms. Brahat, is that with a T at the end or just closes out with an A?
My first name has a T at the end, but my last name does not have a T at the end.
So pronounce your last name again for me.
It's Abraha.
With an A in front of it?
Yes.
Abraha?
Yes.
Abraha.
It's like Abraham, but without the M at the end.
Thank you. Okay. Awesome. So first question, just on the rule set, committee amendments, it's the noon the day before. And I would just ask, I'm certainly open to, you know, things are going to come up. And if something happens and you'd like, if we need to move an amendment, within that time frame, that's going to be just. I would just ask that we both agree
just
to
chat
it
with me.
And I'm happy. I'm not looking for us to do it. You're going to be running the show. You're driving the bus, and I know there's going to be times you're going to need things. So let's just agree on those. I'm happy to do that. Second thing is, just by way of process, we had Ms. Burke as our committee administrator in the past. How would you like? What is the best process for us getting bills to you as well? Do you want those to come through your CA, or Madam Chair, do you want those to come directly to you? Who's going, you get the ultimate decision on what gets heard. I just want to know what's our most efficient way to present that to you.
The most efficient way would be to go through Ms. Bennett.
Okay, so we'll do that, and that's what we'll do. We'll try to be coordinated, and we'll work with Mr. Withers and saw that. And to the researcher, it's super helpful in the past. If you give me a copy of your document, that can be really helpful moving your bills. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Were there any other questions that people had on the rules or any other comments? Just want to check one more time. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time back in your day. First, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for sharing. We definitely have an embarrassment of riches here in this committee between folks that have an incredible background in teaching, administration, school, school support staff before and after school, and just really, really excited about that. And I'm excited to be working with the folks. I think we are going to do an incredible job for our kids. And I want to make sure that you know that next week we are meeting on our regular schedule, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during our regular time. We'll be hearing fiscal overviews from our nonpartisan staff, from the Minnesota Department of Education, from our Professional Educator Licensing Standards Board, and then we'll also be doing an overview on nutrition. So I really am excited for folks to be in this committee and all your lived experiences that you're going to bring to the table to help make sure that we're doing important work for our kids. And with that, we are adjourned.